doubt about that. This is one of the best churches to preach in America. I kid you not. And there's a lot of people that I've been mistreated a lot. Brother Kirsch has different places. And it's always by somebody, some jerk that's bragging on everything around you. I'll give you a sad story. I got to tell this. This is so bad. You won't believe it when I tell it. I got to get it off my chest, okay, before we get started. Preached in a church one time. There was three rows of pews. I mean, what was it, 40 or better than the balcony that went up in Shelby? I mean, in that town that we was in. And there's maybe 20 people there all week. Two great things happened that week. Two great things. A millionaire's wife that kicked her to the curb that used to run around with Dale Earnhardt. She grew up in that church, married that millionaire, went off, and as long as she was young and pretty, he loved her. But as she turned 40, he replaced her with a 20. Yeah. She come back to that place, lived behind the Sun Drop factory, broke, and in a bombed-out old single-wide trailer. Got gloriously saved that week. And I'll never forget that.
Hey.
And I also never forget Friday night when the pastor told all week long we want to take up $1,000 for our visiting preacher. This is in 2000, 2001-ish. There was still a lot of money on that. I didn't make that in a month back then. I was excited to hear I was going to get that in a week. And me and my wife, we had been praying about something and all of it. And when he said that, we was like, that is a blessing. How do you think I felt when we got home that night? That envelope had less than $200 in it.
Yeah.
Now I know why the guy was smiling at me when he handed it to me. Not the preacher now. The pastor didn't do that. But the treasurer, whatever he was, secretary, whatever he was. Yeah. He looked at me and smiled so big. Now I know why he's smiling. He got an $800 raise that week and I didn't. But you know what I did? I said, Lord, you know everything we've needed. And you know you can take care of that.
Yeah,
didn't tell nobody that story for years. But I also didn't tell this part. I had somebody show up at the house with $800, didn't know why, but God told them to bring it.
Amen.
I said, I know exactly where it's from, and I'll get it exactly where it needs to be. That treasurer obviously needs it more than I do. I'm going to take him another $800. If he's that worried about money, he would steal from a church.
Amen.
Not stealing from me. He stole from that church. If he's that worried about it, we'll give him $800 more. But I tell you that to tell you this. I never missed a dime. I never missed a meal. My wife's got me on a diet now because I've not missed too many meals. And the good part is it's working. I didn't know why Brother Kirsch came out here till I asked for ice cream earlier. And he looked over at me and said, okay. I ain't going to touch it. It's like bringing Jimmy to the cricket with you when you go somewhere. He's going to sit there and make you feel guilty about everything. Tell his wife, Sister Brandy, it's working. I can't do nothing. Can't get away with nothing out here. Don't say that again, brother. I'll think about it all night. Anyway, I feel like that to have revival, we need to do like they did out in the wilderness of Moses. We need to sacrifice a sacred cow first. And before you think we're going to get blood up here on your church, we're not. We're just going to get a sacred cow and kill it first. Is everybody okay with that?
Amen.
I look at verse 17. This chapter, the theme of this chapter is results. This is the key verse of the chapter. We're going to look at it in verse 18. There's 18 verses, 450 words, all inspired by God, kept forever in this King James Bible, preserved forever, every word. Even the italicized words are inspired. So how do you know that? Because Jesus quoted the Old Testament, and he quoted the italicized words from Deuteronomy.
Yep.
And they weren't italicized over there.
Right.
I've taught Bible college for 17 years. I ain't figured that out yet other than God did it.
Amen.
But see, that's good enough for me.
Yep.
I don't have to explain everything.
Exactly.
I believe everything, and when it gets showed to me, I'm okay with it because I've already believed it. Now, sometimes things come about, I look at the Bible, I think, how in the world did that happen? And then it just comes together, it's like, oh, that's how you do it. Thank you, brother. Are you a deacon? You should be. I'm making you my deacon tonight. You got your gun with you, brother? You are definitely ordained after the service tonight, I'm telling you. But as you look at verse 17, here's the sacred cow we're going to get. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, capital S. If you'll learn, when you see capital S Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and little s, that's man, his spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Here's the sacred cow we're going to get. Heard this, said it before myself, and finally one day I ran into this, and just, I thought, if I could go back and apologize to all the people I said this to, I would. Well, I had good liberty preaching there. Oh, I didn't have good liberty preaching there. One day, that spirit in that verse it's talking about was the Lord showed me something. Hey, dummy, you carried the spirit in with you. Why didn't you have liberty? And I looked at that, and I thought about it, and I thought, well, that's what all the preachers say.
Yeah.
Sacred cow's going right now.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell anybody you had liberty for this, or liberty for that, or liberty for this, or liberty for that. That is called preacher talk. It makes for good preaching, but it doesn't make for good Bible truth.
Right, man. Hello?
Yeah. Now that we've got the sacred cow, and half of Facebook is now turned off. Honey, it's okay if your preacher says it. You know why? He can be wrong. It's Jesus that's always right, and the Bible's always right.
Amen.
That's right.
It's kind of like when people say, God told me. That may be wrong, too. You did know that when the Antichrist shows up, he's not going to say, I'm the Antichrist, and I'm here to control the world and rule the world and put you in hell. He never says that.
Right.
His opening line is, hi, I'm God. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? All those people left out of here, all those churches are empty, and then it's okay, I'm God. They evolved out of here because that Bible-believing nonsense, that's the first thing he's going to say.
Yeah.
He's going to explain you away, or even better, well, I'm God, and I saw the aliens take them out of here, so I thought, good riddance, now I can come back. And all the Calvinists will fall right in behind him, think the tribulation's over with now that God showed up. I'm sorry, that was three sacred cows. Like, can I get another one? If you look at verse 18, this caught my attention. The Lord really burdened my heart for this tonight. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. As we look at this tonight, I want to preach to you on a message tonight on mirror, mirror in the book. Mirror, mirror in the book. There was a once fairy tale that told how a woman came up and said, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the, whatever it was it the fairest of them all? And the thing knew if it didn't tell it's her, it'd get a hammer right across its front bow there. But here's the thing. That fairy tale was distorted out of your Bible to make fun of your Bible. When I got in college, they wanted us to read the little fairy tales we read as a kid, but the original versions of them, every one of them's a horror movie wannabe. Hansel and Gretel. Oh, you want to come inside and eat the cake, huh? You talking about something, my goodness, they told the kids the real story, they would grow up warped over that stuff. They wouldn't trust old fat ladies at all, especially ones with a pointy hat. I'm telling you, those things are awful. But if you look at this story, I'm going to tell you tonight, it's not just a story, it's truth from the Word of God, and it'll help you see some things, not to the person beside you, not through your rearview mirror, but the mirror right in front of your face that'll help you out tonight.
Amen.
I heard the pastor say it, so I believe it. We want revival.
Amen.
If you'll look in this mirror with me tonight, we can have it.
Amen.
I don't think the nation will explode in revival from here. I would be okay if it did. I don't think the state of Arkansas will. I don't know if any of the area churches will get in on it. But you can have it.
Right. Amen.
You can have it if you want it.
Amen.
Let's pray as we look in this mirror. Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. And Lord, as we look in this passage of Scripture tonight, we pray, God, that you'd open our eyes and help us to learn what this is tonight. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God, I pray you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
As we look tonight in this mirror, we want to examine the ways how the Lord uses this mirror to hold up in front of you to show you what you really are, not as to hurt you, but to help you.
Amen.
I would be willing to guess tonight, and this is just an open guess, that everyone in here looked in a mirror before you got here. If you haven't, run back to the bathroom right quick. I'll tell another few jokes while you get your affairs in order. But he said that in this verse, we with open face. Do you know that there are people I've watched on TV that I've saw over the years that are just immaculate looking and all this other stuff? And if I run into them in real life, boy, they look very different if you catch them early in the morning. Out of all the people here, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm the only one here that ever met Ric Flair. Anybody else? Let me do it for you one time. Woo!
Yeah.
Our meeting stretches back to 1982 at Lake Wylie, South Carolina, while me and my stepdad were fishing. We saw Paul Jones towing Ric Flair's boat in to get gas because he ran out of gas. He had this woman in the boat with him, not three or four women. He had a wife and a dog. And the dog was a big old Great Dane. It was bigger than I was at the time. I was about 12 years old. I'll never forget seeing his wife close up. Well, I guess it's his ex-wife. I can say this. When I saw her up close the first time, I thought, oh, my goodness. He looked like somebody had attacked her with bullets. They must have filled her in with spackle before she was on TV that one time. Now we have Facebook. I have not seen a real woman in almost 4 years now, brother, I don't think. Don't look at me like that, lady. I'll come back there. On Facebook, my wife explained this to me. So you know it's something smart because my wife said my wife told me. She said they use a filter on their face for Facebook. I said, dear Lord, what happened to makeup? And she said, oh, you can do that on there too. I said, that's not real. That's not real. That's not the real them. And if you think I'm against makeup, I'm not. I think every old barn needs a coat of paint every once in a while anyway. Amen and amen.
Yeah.
I only got to stay tonight with you. It's okay. But I'm not making fun so much as I'm saying this. There are so many fake people on that thing that I've ever seen. That's not the real them. I've seen people talk a tough game from Texas and people in South Carolina and them going back and forth. I'm thinking, hold on. Would you say that if that guy was standing right there?
Yeah.
And I look online, the guy's 5'1". Well, we've stepped over bigger than that to see a good fight. And they're talking all this tough stuff. And I look at their pictures, and their pictures are never them. It's an inflated image somewhat.
Yeah.
And then I got the real joy of life in the last 2 weeks. They all became cartoon characters.
Yeah.
You're guilty, I can tell by looking at you. I made one, brother. I'll show it to you after church. I have one made of me of my profile picture. I'm ready to go anytime my wife says, put that thing on there. I'm going to put it on there. It's a picture she took, and it's made into a cartoon character, and I've never looked less like my real self in all my life. I'm ready to join Bugs Bunny and Pepe Le Pew because I say bring him back too. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But as we look at this thing, and the first way we know how the Lord uses a mirror in verse 18, he says the first way is it's for a change. That's how come you use a mirror. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, there it is, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. I want you to notice the mirror is there for a change. Nobody looks in the mirror to stay the same,
yeah,
except Fonzie.
Yeah, amen.
That's the only one I've ever seen do that to a mirror and walk off. And he was made up for an hour before he came on the set that day. The Spirit must be there in a born-again believer for this to even be possible. People look at this Bible and they'll say it contains the Word of God. That means they don't believe in every word is God's word.
That's right.
Or, that's an interesting book. I read it one time like any other book.
Yeah.
But the born-again believer that got convicted, and the day if you got saved at all, you felt like you deserved the whole world to come against you, and it felt like you was carrying the planet.
Amen.
And the way you know you got in is God Almighty said you're saved, not you. Because remember before that, you told everybody you was. Oh, yeah, I'm good. I got baptized.
Yeah, amen.
That's the first way you know somebody's not saved. They refer back to some religious act.
That's right.
Yep. Be it baptism, sacraments, some kind of religious act. And I see here in this verse that what God says is different than what people said. He said you got to behold it with an open face. You got to look at that thing. You got to look at you and see what you really are. You know why I didn't read the Bible when I was lost? It wasn't because I was above reading books. It's because out of all the books I'd ever read, this one read this way. And I did not like that. I knew what I was, but I didn't like to be told what I was. I didn't like people that said it. I didn't like it when the Holy Ghost said it. I didn't like when the preacher said it. And I sure wasn't going to get in the privacy of my own home and be dogged out constantly by a book.
Yeah.
Why? I didn't have the Spirit of God. I wasn't sealed until the day of redemption. I wasn't a born-again believer.
Amen.
And what happened is you got the believer must be willing to change, the born-again believer, when they come to this book. There's no doubt that there are people that are saved that never do anything for God, and yet they'll make it to heaven.
Yeah.
When they say to themselves, that's all that matters is one got saved. No, there's a little bit more to it.
Amen.
Getting saved isn't the end of the journey. That's the beginning.
Right.
And you have just been given an opportunity that the God who created the entire universe and everything here just said, come with me on a journey.
Yes.
And you're going to sit back and say, nah, I think I'll stay the way I am. Just, hey, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
You ever heard somebody say, just preach Jesus, honey. That's all you got to do. If you'll just preach Jesus. He come in a place like this and overturned tables and threw people out and whipped them with a cord.
Yeah.
You really want Jesus preached, right?
Yeah.
I've never heard him touch that one.
Yeah.
I ain't heard the first set of outlines and series and a book on that one yet.
Right.
That's the real Jesus. That's the real Jesus that stopped the fundraisers in one day.
Yeah.
I mean, they came to a screeching halt. But listen to me. You got to come to this book willing to change. You can't say, I'm fine, and try to find what you want out of here. You got to come here and say, I know I'm not.
Amen.
I just don't know what to do.
Right.
But you may know what to do, but probably you don't. So go look to find out what to do. Now, if it says Judas hanged himself and you find another place to go to do there likewise, that ain't for you. Let me explain something to you. All of this book is written to you, but not about you and for you to do. I learned something in the Bible. There are divisions in the Bible. I found two right off the bat, the old one and the new one. Okay?
Amen.
It could be tonight that you're not a Jew.
Amen.
It's probably, I doubt we have a Jew here. Maybe are you a Jew, brother? Okay. You always have to ask when a new guy comes in, right, brother? You got to ask if they're Jew or something like that. Because sure as you don't, we had a guy come from prison, sat on the front row. I blew this thing out talking about Jews and all this to preach on it. Orthodox Jew sitting right there. Nobody thinks to tell me this. Nobody even stood in the back saying.
Yeah.
And he didn't wear his hat, so I didn't understand he was a Jew. He didn't even look like one, matter of fact. But what I'm telling you is this. You've got to come to this book willing to change. There's going to be things I'll preach on that you'll never have heard before, but you've heard them 50 times from your pastor, and God used that to get your eyes open something this week.
Amen.
When he says it's like, oh, he's a fanatic, he's a... But if I say it's like, man, God said it.
Yeah.
But really, I'm just repeating you what he said.
Right.
Here's the good part. But it wasn't him and it wasn't me. It's time for you to see it, and God showed it to you.
Amen.
Now do something with it.
Amen.
Come willing to change. You know, I don't have a problem with people coming up to me and saying things to me about how I dress. I could care less. I try to see what God says on how I dress, and we'll go from there. It's fair enough.
Amen.
I see y'all not getting this. I'm like he's a legalistic preacher. I'm going to bear down right there. Listen to me. You got to do what God says, not what I say or anybody says.
Right.
But you got to come here willing to see it first.
Right.
Secondly, about this, you got the believer must be willing to change. And the change, if you'll notice, it says it's from glory to glory. But it's in an image. Not an image you paint up on the wall. Not a Trinity symbol or all that.
Yeah.
There's an image he wants you to go to. It's an image you can't see drawn and go to, or it becomes an idol.
Amen.
The image is his son.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ we look for in every page of this book, and that's what we adjust to.
Right.
You ever heard of something called a DirecTV?
Yeah.
I know you won't admit you want your preacher probably don't have a television, so I'm going to tell you the story. You put that thing on a pole. Make sure this ain't on, brother, because I'm going to hit it in a minute. And I don't want everybody to jump. And you put that thing on a pole, and you got a kid in the house or a kid out here turning like we used to do the old TV antennas. And you're listening to that thing, you go, and when it goes, it's a clear line. The thing in there says, you're connected, this is connected. The guy you got on the phone with DirecTV says, I think you got it. And you turn it till you find it. You know what you're adjusting to? A fixed thing in the sky that you cannot see. You talking about a picture or something right there. It took me 4 hours to get this. I'm giving you in 40 seconds. We turned that thing. But see, I grew up getting practice. We had an antenna outside.
Yeah.
That's channel 4, son. Another way. Oh. Channel 7. Okay, we got it. Now come back in. Welcome back, Cotter's on. Only the people over 40 are laughing on that one. I know. Welcome back. By the way, Gabe Kaplan's a Jew and a millionaire from that one show.
Yes.
I thought God was done with the Jew. What happened? That promise is still there. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you're conforming to the image that you can't see. Did you hear what I just told you? You're conforming to an image you can't see.
Amen.
So you got to have something here that's a receptor of that image that'll adjust you to that image.
Amen.
That's why the Holy Spirit of God has to indwell the believer, or you'll never know what to do.
Amen.
And he's got this manual over here, and you're kind of working your way right to it. Not getting saved. I know some of us already saved. God's not done with you after he saves you. He's got a lot more to go.
Right.
And if you don't believe that, just look in the mirror. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look about verse 28. The ways the Lord uses the Bible like a mirror is for change. And if you look down in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we go to shout and say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And we look at every bad thing that happens and say, that's what it was. It may be because you were stupid it happened, by the way. You know when a holiness starts believing like a Calvinist? When something bad happens, they can't explain. Well, that was God's will. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you're stupid. And you make dumb decisions over and over and over. And you're trying to tie God's will to you. That's not where his will is. Listen to me. His will is in Jesus Christ, not your bad mistakes.
Right.
Amen. So you talk like somebody don't make bad mistakes. No, I just ain't told you all of mine. I've made them. Now my goal is not to make bad decisions over and over.
Amen.
So why? I looked in the mirror one day. My mascara was running, you understand? You know why a lot of women have told me over the years, Pastor, why they get on these Prozac pills? Because they just cry all the time. Honey, I think if we got Miss Wet Eyes and Mr. Amen back in the church, I think we'd see more in revival. We'd see God move across the nation.
Amen.
But we don't want to... Well, if I'm crying, they'll think I'm lost. I doubt it. They thought you was lost last week while you was laughing. Imagine what they'd think of that.
Amen.
It's kind of like you folks that don't come down to the altar. You say, well, they think I'm getting saved again. Well, we don't think you're saved now, so what's the point?
Amen.
Maybe we saw you come, we'd come. You ever thought about this, preacher? Let me talk to you. They're not paying attention right now. They're thinking I'm calling them ugly, and I'm not. I'm trying to get them pretty again. But he says in verse 29, this is the verse we need to get to tonight. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Very important Bible word. And it doesn't mean what you think it means. I've heard people get to that word and stop and never get the rest of the verse. And then say something stupid like, and that shows God's doctrine of grace called predestination. No, it don't. You took it out of context. Predestined to be.
Yay.
There's our word. Conformed to the, what we can't see, image of his son. It's there because God wants you to look in that mirror for conformity. And he says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conform means made to resemble. And in a practical sense, it's made agreeable to. How many of you have ever seen a picture of long-haired Jesus?
Amen.
Did you know there's several different pictures of long-haired Jesus? I'm going to give you the tour. There's only three. Number one, there is Italian Jesus. He's not white, but he's not tan. He's kind of in between there. But the way you know it's Italian Jesus, he has beautiful blue eyes and long, smooth hair that's kind of just curly in places. You know, like yours looks when you got the beauty parlor thing.
Yeah.
True story. An Italian painted it with an Italian man sitting there, and he conformed Jesus to the image of Rome, Italy. They want you to think that he was Roman, and every succeeding Roman that takes his place is still Christ. What a cult, man. Second Jesus, black Jesus. Oh, you got to read in the Bible over there where he got hair like wool. Maybe there were... No, wait a minute. That was Solomon dressing up to look like a Gentile for his Gentile bride. Ah, so he wasn't really black Jesus. They read into the Bible something that wasn't there.
Right. Yeah.
You show me any saved black man, he don't believe in black Jesus. He believes in the real Jesus, a Jewish Jesus.
Right.
Last Jesus you'll see, and you may even have a picture of him in your home and don't even realize it. Mormon Jesus. He looks somewhere between an American Indian and a white man with white man features with American Indian skin. By the way, he's got long hair, but it looks like you'd find him walking down the road anywhere in his town. Interesting, ain't it?
Amen.
You know what the real Jesus looks like? Can I tell you so you'll know and you won't think them are Jesus?
Amen.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was a Jew.
Amen.
Isaiah 53 says he wasn't beautiful. That's before they beat him.
Yeah.
He was a common, everyday, ordinary, poor Jew that lived in Israel of his day.
Yeah.
There was nothing about him. You could look at him and say, you know, that might be the Son of God that comes out of the line of the tribe of Judah. You would have never thought of it. Jesus didn't have long hair. You know how I know that? The Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair.
Amen.
While we don't preach on that, I have no idea, but it's still in the Bible.
Amen.
You guys took it a little too far, some of you.
Amen.
Yeah. I do too. But I don't tell people to look like my hair, thank God. They couldn't handle looking like this. Too much pride. I used to think bald guys was ashamed they'd wear a hat. Till I became bald and found out why bald guys wear a hat. I got a sunburn in February, and it was the worst one I've ever had in my life. And it was a funeral. I'm sitting out there thinking, oh, it's a nice outside funeral. The wind's blowing. It's real cold and everything. I got tore up. I had stuff running down my head for weeks, felt like. And then I turned into lizard head. Yeah, it was bad, brother. I went from 30 to 40 in 2 days. But to be conformed is to an image we've never seen other than the picture we get here. And God wants to has saved you and predestined you to look more like Him than anybody else.
Amen.
Can I show you something that'll help you out? He don't want you to promote you at all. Did we just read over from glory to glory? Well, that sure ain't got nothing to do with us. It said by that same Spirit, that ain't us. And we get over here where He said that same Spirit's going to predestinate us to be conformed, made to resemble, made to literally agreeable to this, what we're seeing about Jesus in the Bible. And I read in Philippians chapter 2, don't ever forget this. He never promoted Himself from verse 5 to verse 8. In fact, He did just the opposite. He'd tell His disciples, don't tell nobody about me after I'm risen.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, He got 10,000 hungry people around Him.
Yeah.
It's not in the Bible. Can't you hear Him saying, you went and told, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then after you've risen from the dead, I want you to go tell everybody what they do.
Yeah. Amen.
You're doing this backwards. Yeah. Now you tell everybody.
Yeah.
But we're there. It's for conformity. He wants two things out of us. Repentance of known sin in our lives. So which one? You probably already know before I even bring it up.
Amen.
Because you've got the same Spirit in you that wrote this book, and He's going to agree with Himself on it. And Amen. You're going to disagree, and that's how you know you're not right.
Amen.
Secondly, it's so that you will repent of sins that you don't know are sins. When I got saved, I don't know, I haven't asked the pastor if I can even say this. I should, but I probably won't. And if he does this, boy, it's going to be the quickest revival meeting ever. I smoked for 10 years of my life. When I got saved, all the deacons where I went to church at, they were smoking on the porch. So I didn't see anything wrong with it. We were at God's house with burnt offerings at the front of the place, just like it had in the Bible. I didn't really understand that at the time, but I thought that. I mean, I didn't know where Exodus was when I got saved. I'm getting, you know. And one day, God convicted me of smoking cigarettes. I said, Lord, everybody else is doing it. I got out of concordance. I couldn't find cigarettes in the Bible. And that should have told me something right away when I couldn't find it in the Bible. And then there was this commercial came on TV for the American Cancer Society. I've never given them a dime, don't know what they believe, don't care. But boy, they sure helped me that day. I saw all these people in that cancer hospital and said, please donate to help find the cure for cancer. And I was like, may cause cancer.
Yeah.
I looked back over the Bible and I was like, but it didn't say that in the Bible. And then I found something about this Bible showing me that I was, listen to this, a holy temple unto the Lord. Oh my goodness. So what'd you do? I quit five things right then, including smoking. And the other four wasn't even sinful. I just felt bad about it because the whole temple thing. That's why you don't cuss. You don't want that said in here, do you?
No.
You don't want it said in here either. He's here too. Amen. In fact, He leaves with you when you go here. Remember where the Spirit of the Lord is, we have liberty. Well, He's going with you, so don't take it out there with you.
Amen.
Don't bring it in here. And definitely stop what you know is sin. And then when you find out something's sin, stop that too. I wouldn't dare judge you for love or money. I don't care. This is America. We're Baptists. Do what you want. But, if I see you fixing to jump off a cliff, I will try to catch you before you get... I'll try to catch you up here and try to catch you down here.
Yeah.
Because I know what happens down here. I've seen the result of it. And I'll try to tell you up here first. I would be amiss if I didn't. But notice this. You repent of unknown sin. What's unknown sin? Well, you don't know it's sin yet. That's why we walk with Jesus every day. You get up and pray every day. You do have family devotions, right? Say, Well, you need to have family devotions. Even if it's just you and your wife. Or you and your wife and your kids. Or you and your kids or whatever. Get the Bible out. Well, I'm not as eloquent and can explain things. That's not the requirement to do it. You do it anyway. You know who makes the best Sunday school teachers in the whole world in Baptist churches? The guy that says, I don't think I can do that. Dump it on him. Let him go with it. You ever seen that picture of that guy throwing his kid in the pool? We saw it today. You know what it says? Dad, I can't swim. Well, with that attitude, you never will. And he's tossed him way up there to splash in the middle of the deep end. I've never seen a kid couldn't swim. It was done like that. Some of you are scared to death right now. He's faking it. He's faking it. Don't believe it for a second. Anyway. When you conform to the image of his son, there's a reason why. That's why God saved you. And every step you make in that direction, God makes that step and knew you were going to make it ahead of time, if you can believe that. I don't try to explain all that. I just believe it. And I believe every saved person comes to Romans 8:29 at some point after their conversion. You might get a little bit, not that way either. You might get a little bit of that from God. That's the predestinating part. He's getting you to where you need to be. Amen. You ever read something in the Bible 2 days in a row and saw it in two different places and thought, God, that's just cruel you get me for that 2 days in a row out of both Testaments?
Yeah.
Predestined to happen. Yeah. I'm not a one-point Calvinist. I believe in eternal security believer. I believe in the depravity of man, but not the ignorance of man where you can't do anything. I might look dumb, but I'm not that dumb. You couldn't ever be born again and couldn't accept the offer if God didn't make the offer. And by the way, God puts nobody in hell. You put you there.
That's right.
I take that back. I'm wrong. He put Judas in hell, okay? That was the one I forgot. Holy Ghost just reminded me of that. Out of 7 billion people, one actually was put there on purpose. But even then, he made the choice.
That's right.
But notice this. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We've got here God wanting us to look in the mirror for a change and for conformity. You thought you was making F's tonight. I'm sure you need to make C's. Look at this. James chapter 1, verse 22. This is God's own word on it. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's 99% of everything goes to church on Sunday morning, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Jew, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Catholic, Seventh-day Disadvantage, Church of Christ, whatever they may be. They hear it, but they don't do it. They have the same Bible read to them. They're in a cult. How about that?
Yeah.
They won't do nothing with it. They're not listening. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a... Oh, look, you handsome devil, you. Look at you. There he is, full of pride. And it says about him, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this very book right here, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be. What is that word? Let me give you two options here, blessed or cursed. Which one do you want? Say again.
Blessed.
I don't believe you yet. Say again.
Blessed.
I heard you that time. You didn't say cursed, right? You know why you didn't say cursed? Because cursed goes with curse words that are bad. Goes with curses that are bad. And cursed people, which are bad people.
Amen.
But you don't want to be like that. You'll be blessed. If I took a bunch of 5-year-olds and said, who wants to go to heaven? And they knew what heaven was, everybody would raise their hand. And then I would look at him and say, you don't want to go to hell, do you? They'd be back scared going, no, no, I don't go there. And I'd count 35 conversions and I'd send it to the Sword of, some famous independent newspaper.
Yeah, amen.
And they would make me the next speaker on the floor if I could do it 350 times in 20 days. And every one of them kids would be lost.
Amen.
But I tricked them. I got them to do it. We used to have a man in town like that. He would trick people into saying what's called the sinner's prayer. And then nobody changed. Nobody conformed. Last see, and nobody continued. I don't know if you've heard about this yet or not. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But we've had two phenomenal things happen in our area. The one was this charismatic outfit that started showing a play called The Rapture. And these people in these dead Southern Baptist churches going over there, and they'd have some guy rode right a Harley down the middle of the church. And they'd sing songs and people would clap and run the aisles while they were getting ready to have this play. And then to have the play and it'd tug on your emotional heartstrings more so than anything you've ever seen. It was a Hollywood production without the cameras. Thousands were counted as saved. And their building grew so big they had to build another one. And then they had to buy a shopping mall to put that crowd in. They're so big. Right beside that shopping mall is called Waccamaw Pottery. Anheuser-Busch is right here. Not one liquor store in Spartanburg County ever shut down. Not one pornographic bookstore ever shut down. DUI cases up. Crime up. And the jails overcrowded. Like all the previous years. No continuing. You know why? They missed that 4C. It was actually the first one that's converted.
Yeah.
There was no change there.
Amen.
Listen to me. They did one. So the independent Baptists all got jealous. And they brought their golden calf up to a place up North Carolina. And he held a tent meeting. And for 7 weeks, hundreds got saved. Why, it was such a great move of God. They had a divorce preacher up there one night that admitted to 12 years worth of adultery and still's in the ministry.
Yeah.
One night a church of God was setting up there to show they had unity with everybody. But they had some of the best music. That's all I ever heard about that.
Yeah.
And all these people coming to the altar getting saved. Not even 100 miles from that other place I told you about. Anheuser-Busch factory right here. Not one pornographic bookstore ever shut down. Not one convenience store quit carrying those dirty things. Not one dollar less in beer sales for the entire 8 weeks they was up there. If me and you would have said something about it, they'd have said, y'all just jealous. Y'all ain't running that. I could have cared less. I didn't even attend. You know why? I told you, and I gave it away two nights in a row, I'm a wrestling fan. You know, people used to come up to me and say, now, you do know wrestling's fake, right? Star Wars is fake too, but I like it real good too. Just saying, it's entertainment. But so's that. It's just religious entertainment. So how do you know? Why are you being like that? Because nobody continued.
Amen.
Not one church. You know what I heard one time? I heard our church was a mean church and I was a mean preacher. Of course, you'd never believe it, but I'm telling you they said it. And you know what I asked the pastor that said that in my pulpit? I said, how many pews have you added in the 20 years you've been where you at? What, you don't know either? I've been waiting 5 years for the answer from him and I ain't heard it yet. You know why? I'm going to tell you the answer. They haven't added none.
Yeah.
We're not living in revival age where 100 people get saved today and 100 tomorrow and all that. We're living in the last days.
Amen.
Where Jesus could come at any time.
Amen.
And we're not seeing that anymore like then.
Right.
But when you see somebody put up a tent and do all that,
yeah.
You ever heard of the circus before?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, my mama, brother, listen, how old are you? I'm not being mean. How old are you?
23.
You know how old I was when my mama took me to the circus? 40 years old. She was always working when the circus came around. So finally, Ringling Brothers came around. I got to go 11 years ago. I know where they stole their act from now. You throw up a tent, you have some fat elephants come in and take up the offering, or deacons, and then you have some clowns come up and perform on the microphones and get everybody's attention away from the fact they're stealing the money out the back door of the tent. And
amen.
Then everybody walks out happy from the thing, but nobody's changed from being the Ringling Brothers.
Yeah.
Nobody. Are you listening to me yet? I don't care when you said you got saved. Have you continued with that thing at all? I'm going to tell you something. I made a profession of faith when I was 14 years old because everybody in the church worried me to death. My friend Ronnie, he came forward and went down front. They said he got saved. He cried and everything. So it must have been real. I don't know. All I do know is Ronnie died 10 years later and he never got away with one thing he did outside going outside that church. I know that. I've watched that and I thought, man, scared me to death. You know why? I got away with everything. See, because a few weeks later, I went down front. It was great. He said, read this card. I read that card. He said, you're saved. I said, I'm saved. He said, we're baptizing you. I thought, man, this must be a real big deal. If I'm getting baptized, I've only seen the good people go up there, you know. He baptized me, and I promise you, God bless you, 7 days to the day I started smoking marijuana and drinking beer.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging. I'm telling you something that's very shameful.
Exactly.
No change. No change. They were talking to me about going to Narcotics Anonymous before I got saved. I didn't even know such a thing existed. You mentioned Alcoholics Anonymous, I believe it was. They bypassed that one. They said, you're too far gone for that. We're going to take you to Narcotics Anonymous. I said, what are they going to do? Oh, they'll get you off drugs. Come again? Well, you don't have to tell who you are. It's anonymous. I thought, well, how are they going to help me if they don't know who I am? I didn't understand all the 12 steps, and I read a book about it, and I'll just be honest with you.
Yeah.
The best step I ever made was I stopped stepping and said, Lord. I know for years you've been after me. You've tried to stop me from all this mess, and I keep getting into it. And after being sober for 3 days, and the third day was April 7th, I said, Lord, I only know that I need to be saved. I don't know how to be saved. Now, listen to me carefully. I had a card of a preacher from the church I grew up in that Grandma sicked him on me after she, I threw his card away and dug through two trash cans to find that card when I got under conviction. I knocked off coffee grinds, snot, and everything else off of it, dialed his number.
Hey.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the hard part. And I didn't know this 2 years later. He is out on his wedding anniversary dinner with his wife. And left there to come finally get the guy he's chased all over town.
Amen.
When people dodge me, I know I'm reaping what I sowed.
Amen.
I'm okay with that. I put out a lot of seeds with that. I know the crops are coming in. I know. He came over that night. He said, and the first thing he said, but I thought you were saved. I said, well, I'm lost. I need to get saved right now.
Maybe.
He said, you got any place we can talk at? You talking about poetic justice. I got saved at Ronald McDonald House. You know, the famous clown.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about clowns and circuses. I know. But it wasn't a Sunday night. It wasn't a Wednesday night. It wasn't a Sunday morning. It was a Thursday night. And there wasn't no church services close by. I'm glad, thank God, when I got under conviction, I didn't call the Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody
Amen.
Like that.
Amen.
I got saved that night. and I found out something. That thing was real. God's real. All that conviction I was under went away the second I got saved. In fact, you'd had a hard time convincing me I was ever guilty of anything after I got saved. So why? I got perfect blood put on me and it was all took away. I had a different end coming, but between here and there, the Lord had some other things I wasn't expecting. 1 month to the day after we got out of the hospital, here come a guy knocking on my door from a church that says, "I heard you got saved." I said, "I did." And without asking me where I've been, he said, "I hadn't seen you in church." And he started talking down to me. I was going, but, you know, trying to say I had been in the hospital, my son. He said, "I don't care what your reason is. If you saved, you need to be in church." He was mean to me. He didn't let me explain my reason, and it was really legit. But I'm glad he didn't, because I realized something. Out of that whole crowd, at that whole church, he is the only one who had guts and God enough to come to my door, knock on my door, and tell me I need to be in church if I said I got saved.
There you go.
So I went to church. And here's the thing. When you get saved, continuing is part of what you just got.
Right.
Not childhood profession of faith, 50 years of sin, and I'm living my faith now.
Amen. Yeah.
Living your faith. Honey, you don't live faith.
Right.
You live by faith.
Right.
Amen.
Think about what I just told you. And when I see people come up with that kind of story, I know what's wrong. They're a religious lost person that's never met Jesus Christ and been saved.
Amen.
When you get saved, God does a work there of conformity, of change, and a continuation of what he's already started. You ever worked in a textile plant before? See how the process works between two plants. You got your cotton mill and your finishing plant. We used to have these before Bill Clinton signed something, and now they're all in China, okay?
Yeah.
Or most of them are.
Yeah.
They take cotton that's been picked out of a field, and they bring it in great big bales. They put them in on this thing, and it's spinning like this, and a bunch of old cigarette-sucking, leather-looking old ladies are in there, and they gossip. Somehow or another, there's a string comes out of all that. They bring it over to this other outfit. They start twirling it around this way, and it becomes a funnel-looking thing or a spreaded-looking thing. They'll take it from that point and put it on another machine. And this is the part that gets me. They'll put 300 degrees of water on top of that thing and bleach it completely out, then dump a bunch of chemicals and make it white. And then they take it over to where I worked at, the dye house. And you know what we did with it? We look at the ticket and it'd say put this, this, and this on it. It'll come out looking like a little color swatch they had there. And boom. And until a Clemson graduate comes, we would always get it right.
Amen.
I promise you, brother, if every guy came out of Clemson like that guy did I had at Spring City, that place would shut down. You got one bad apple in every bunch, right?
Yeah.
We got the one bad apple. And when he couldn't dye black cloth and give us the formula for that, I knew something was up then, because that's not really a hard one to do, you see. But I'm going somewhere. At the end of the day, that little cotton thing they picked out of the field out there, you know what we made T-shirts for and the color for? The greatest Olympic basketball team to ever walk on a court. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, all on the same team. Ain't that cool? We're not talking about whiny LeBron James. We're talking about men. Not the women's team, LeBron. The men's team. And they beat everybody. And I could look at those uniforms and think, it's a one in a million shot. Maybe I dyed the cloth that guy's wearing. Who knows? But I know this. They wasn't done with that little cotton thing they picked out of the field. They didn't say finished product. But when the dude put on that Olympic thing, USA, It's different. That machine they've got out in the field that does the cotton picking, have y'all ever seen one of them? It'll pick 10,000 balls of cotton like that. It's got two big wide things. Boy, it goes up in there and the thing catches it. Next thing you know, you got a bale of stuff. And I always wondered about that. Wondered if they thought that's the complete product. And we took that and said, hey, Michael Jordan, put this on. Then he looked at it and said, well, where's the sleeves at?
Yeah.
Wonder how God feels and he wants to put you on and go talk to somebody. And only half of you's done so far because you haven't been doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Why not turn everything over to Jesus tonight for three things? Change, conformity, and continuing. He's not done with you yet. Are you ever worried about your church, God being done with you? He's not. He's waiting on you to step up to the machine and get processed.
Yeah.
Here's the machine. And God made it so simple, it's a mirror. Ladies, I've never put on makeup in my life, but y'all tell me, when you look at that mirror, you're doing it so you don't look like a clown, right? Just a little bit here, and a little thing here, and a little thing here, and that's what we're doing, right? That's what God wants to do with you. He don't want you to look like a clown. Remember them fanatics we was talking about, Brother Taylor? He's not wanting you to do that. He's wanting to touch you up a little bit here and a little bit here so he can have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do great things for him that nobody may ever know but you, God, and maybe a couple other people. And he wants you to promote Jesus and take you off the bill. It's that simple. I got one question for you tonight. Are you looking in the mirror? Are you looking in the mirror? Mirror, mirror in the book. Who am I supposed to look?
Amen.
How am I supposed to look? When am I supposed to look? Are you looking in the mirror? Let's stand tonight. Pastor, you come.